Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's only weeks before we go to Costa Rica.
I can't fucking wait.
I literally can't wait. I've been dreaming about it.
You guys, stop waiting and go ahead and book that trip because we've handled everything for you. This is an all-inclusive experience. You're getting, first of all, a whole property takeover. So our titties are about to be out.
Our titties are definitely going to be out. We're going to have tarot readers, natal chart readings, a goddess bath excursion to the waterfall, daily yoga, gourmet meals. You know that's top of my list because I likes to eat.
We have a little beach party, a pool party. It's going to be a party, y'all. And I can't wait to see you guys there. If you guys have been thinking about prioritizing your self-care and you're like, when the fuck am I actually going to do this? This is your sign to do it now. We have two different retreats. You can pick from two different dates, the same exact experience with a group of like-minded women. So stop waiting and fucking click that link and book that trip, girl.
You don't have to be a mom to join us. You just have to be a woman who wants to hang, connect, and have a good time and relax. So we are so excited to see you in the jungle. And guess what? You can even ask friends and family to contribute to your trip. When people ask you what you want for Christmas, tell them, put some money on this retreat for me, okay?
Yeah, there's a little link in the website where you book your trip where people can make donations. So go ahead and ask that baby daddy, ask that lover, ask that mama, ask whoever. Put five on my trip, okay? Ho, ho, ho. Welcome back to Good Moms, Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
And it's Wednesday, bitches. Happy Wednesday.
Happy motherfucking Wednesday.
Guys, we're back in New York City, our favorite place. The place that when we're here, it's very highly recommended that you join our close friends because more times than not, we're up to some shit. We definitely have been up to some shit. I'm so sorry if you're not part of Close Friends because then our stories have expired from the Hard or Soft show, which
you didn't want to miss.
Wow. Legendary. We are not a sex podcast. I've been telling Mila since that show. I was like, yeah, we're not a sex podcast. No, because people always like categorize us as that. Nope, nope. We are fucking PG.
As fuck compared to that
we
shit.
We are parents. We are parents as fuck.
We try to be cool, but it doesn't compare to the Hard or Soft sex podcast. How are you feeling, my dear?
I'm good. When I'm here, I just love being here. It just, there's like an energy in New York that just speaks to my soul, my spirit. I'm staying in Brooklyn, which I usually stay in the city, which has been nice. And now I get like, why I like don't ever want to leave Brooklyn. People keep asking me to come to the city. I'm like,
I do love Brooklyn. And you know, it's fall here. We get seasons. It's not like LA where it's 98 degrees. I know, it's so nice. Like, I feel creative when I'm in New York, and I just love it here. Mm-hmm. Can't wait till we get that brownstone, baby.
It's coming. It's coming.
Well, without further ado, we have a very special guest that we actually met at the Hard or Soft podcast live show this weekend. So please welcome the lovely, amazing Sir Marvelous.
Hello, hello, hello.
Professional Dom, Cancer Father Extraordinaire.
Oh, yeah, I do it all.
Welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here with you. This is like super exciting. As soon as I saw you, I was like, oh my God, I wonder if she's seen my performance. Hopefully, she'll bring me on the show.
Oh, we saw that.
So he came up to me at the show and was like, he mentioned, he was like, oh, you should have me as a guest on your podcast. And I was like, okay. And he was like, did you see my performance? And I was like, no, I did not.
He was like, no.
However, but then we went to the play party afterwards and I saw his performance up close and personal. I was just sitting, like, literally up close and personal. And I was
personal.
She was literally like talking to me. Like, it was like going to a movie and like the bitch is talking. I was like, I don't think you're supposed to be talking. Like, I think he burned her pussy. That was a pussy.
Fire. He put the fire on her pussy.
Okay. So if you guys don't know Sir Marvelous, you should go check him out. He's a dom, but I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. He specializes in fire play. And he was doing some magic tricks with that pussy, with the fire. And it looked a little scary, but I was like, can that happen to my pussy? I'm scared, but I want to try it.
Same. I was like, what? How? Please?
Yeah.
I think fire play is literally the epitome of what BDSM is to me. So on the outside looking in, a lot of things that we do in BDSM can be very intimidating. And fire play is probably one of the most intimidating things to think about trying. Nobody wakes up and like, I want to put fire on my pussy, right? But when you're in a room with somebody who's a professional, they could explain the science behind it, why it burns at a lower temperature, the sensation it feels, all of that great stuff. Then you're like, wow, like, I can't believe I was so afraid to try it, or, you know, whatever. Same thing with empath play and, you know, everything else that we do. So,
well, for our listeners who are vanilla, because we're not a sex podcast, what is BDSM?
So BDSM, to me, I'm not going to use the traditional definitions or whatever. For me, what I do in my personal life, I look at it as an extension of foreplay. So a lot of times I feel like foreplay is missing from the sexual experience. So a lot of the things that I do personally, I just look at it as foreplay, sensation play, you know, whether it be taking away someone's ability to see, ability to move. These are ways to heighten the experience, using different tools to create different sensations on the body to encourage blood flow is something that we are like big on when it comes to different forms of play. But everything is about just providing a different sensation from my experience. There are other psychological aspects to it, like when you talk about the dominant submissive versions of BDSM, where people are in relationships and they're, you know, they have specific rules and ways that they go about, you know, how they're going to navigate their dynamics. But for me, it's just foreplay. Mm. It's just foreplay for me, so.
How did you get into this play? And how did you, like, yeah, has it been something that you've always felt a natural knack for? Or was it was it introduced to you by someone?
Do you remember your first time and you're like, wow, I do like to control a bitch. Wow, this seems fun.
Well, to be honest, I'm less controlling than, well, no, that's a lie, because I'm very directive when I am scening with someone. But it's not so much that I want to control. What happened was, I've always been into sex toys. I mention this all the time. I brought my first sex toy when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
And it was by accident. I was just looking for a way to last longer in bed, because I was dating a woman that was older than me at the time, and I kept coming fast. So I went on Google trying to find something to like learn how to stop coming so fast, and then Google led me to these stories about women talking about their experiences sexually and how their only way they get to come is with their vibrator. And I was like, I kept hearing vibrator, 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 and I'm like, let me go buy a vibrator. I used it during sex with my partner, and I was so entertained by how much pleasure she was experiencing, I didn't even think about coming. And I was like, wow, you know what, if this one toy does this, let me see if I can buy more and more and more. And I just started collecting. I had no idea that a lot of the type of plays that I was doing was kinky or anything. I just thought I was a freak. All my friends were like, yo, you're a big freak, you got all these toys in your house.
I was gonna say, where the fuck were you hiding these toys from your mom? Well, your parents.
You know, us boys, teenage boys, we have some secret hottest spots under the mattress and all this.
Could you imagine being a mom and opening up your son's drawer and being like,
I had a vibrator in high school.
But I'm saying my son,
I'd be like, wow, I would be proud. I would be like, wow, my son is very, he's very ahead of his game, and I am a proud mother.
Well, I was raised by my grandmother, so she was more,
it's so it's safe to say she never found your box of tricks.
Actually, confession, it's the first time I've ever admitted this. I came home one day, and all of my toys and pornos and stuff was on my bed.
Oh, my God. Grandma.
Literally, I was like, I was blown away. And I knew that the home attendant had to help her take all that stuff out my drawers, because my hiding place, I had these like six-tier drawer, big dresser drawer, big old-fashioned dresser. And I used to, and it was so deep, I used to pull the drawers out and put everything behind the drawer and then put the drawer back in. And apparently I had something sticking out from under it, and they found it that way, and I came home and everything was laid out on it. And she was like, what is this? I was like, I don't know. My favorite excuse, it wasn't mine. It's not mine. This is my room, but it ain't mine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been checking out your pins. He is, Sir Marvelous is, if you're watching this episode, then he's looking quite dapper right now. He's wearing navy blue suit,
yes.
With a burgundy tie, and he has these two pins. One is a vibrator.
Yes, yes.
At first, I wasn't sure what that was, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's the magic wand.
It's the magic wand.
I've seen that one. That's how I could identify it.
Yeah. And the other is a whip.
A flogger.
A flogger. Flogger.
Wow, are you a sex podcaster?
I told you I'm not. So.
Yeah, she did give us that warning.
Even I know that. Shit.
Well, yeah, these are two of my favorite toys. Probably two of the most popular toys in general. So, you know, I might have to get a rose and put that on here now, because the rose is stepping up.
Mm. Yeah. We saw a review about that rose. I got to get that. You know what? Actually, my sub said he was going to. I'm a sub, but I'm also a dom in my DMs.
Oh.
If no one knew, I do. I have a sub in my DMs specifically, and he calls me Daddy Mila, and he actually said he was going to send Erica and I money for the rose. We've spent it on dinner, but maybe he'll send more.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard great reviews about this rose. My friend sent it to me a while ago, and I was like, nigga, you don't know. I was like, but then it just keeps popping up. Like, I swear, the last month, someone has like talked to me about this shit at least 3 to 4 times. So I think you have my money.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
I'm so jealous. We don't have as many great sex toys for us, but they're coming out more and more.
Please ask Orlando. That nigga has about 5,700.
What is a sex toy that a man, like, what is appealing to you as a man, like, in a sex toy? What are you looking for?
I mean, I think most men, we just want something that's wet and warm to stick our thing inside of. I know that sounds crazy as fuck.
I'm like, it sounds accurate. Yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, I think it would be dope. I'm pretty sure they have it now where you can like control it Bluetooth. So like perhaps if your partner's like on the other side of the world or whatever, they can control how.
Oh, they do.
Shout out to Satisfyer. If you guys haven't tried Satisfyer, they have the Satisfyer Connect app. Mm-hmm. We love Satisfyer, and that shit really works because I've used it across the country. You can also fuck to your own. You can also fuck to music.
Yes, that's something I love to do. So, and during my sessions, I have one of the Lush toys, and I connected to my playlist that everybody was getting at me at the play party. But yeah, I connected to my playlist, and as the playlist gets more intense, so does the vibration. So during their massage, they're feeling that experience, and then once that happens, I take them over to the cross, and other stuff happens after that.
Yeah. Well, you talked about like exploring toys at a very young age. When did you, like, at what point did you become a professional dom?
Okay, so I had went through a breakup with my ex-fiance, and I finally got my mojo back, got on Tinder.
Wait, side note, he's a Cancer with a table full of water signs.
Yes, yes.
You know we have a hard time letting go.
Oh, trust me.
We're people hoarders. I'll speak for you when I say I know.
Mm-hmm. So I was going through a breakup, finally got my mojo back, and I joined Tinder, and I met this woman on there. At first, I didn't think she was a woman at all, mainly because the way she was speaking. As soon as the conversation started, she was like, yeah. I was like, you know, tell me some things you like, you're into. She was like, yeah, I want a man to control me, tell me what to do, you know, fuck me hard and treat me like a slut. And I'm like, this is literally like 5 minutes into the conversation. I'm like, no woman really speaks like that, especially, you know, someone that seems to have so much going for yourself. Like, why are you just throwing it? So I'm like, red flag, you're trying to steal my kidneys or some shit like that. But I was like, you know, that's a red flag. She let it go. And then we started a conversation about something else. And then the conversation once again came up. Like, hey, so tell me some things you like. Well, I like to be treated like a slut. And da 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 da. Whatever.
And I'm like, maybe I need to put that in my profile.
Funny you should ask.
And I'm like,
long walks on the beach and be treated like a slut.
And I'm like a slut.
Wow. So I'm like, yeah, that's a red flag because women don't normally talk like that right away. And I got blocked. And what happened was I remember her name and I looked up on Facebook at the time. And I found her, and apparently she had a lot of live videos. And I inboxed her just mad, like, drippy tip videos. Like, fuck it, I'm a freak too. Here.
What's a drippy tip video?
So a drippy tip video is a video where you jerk off till you come.
Oh, and then the tip is drippy?
Well, my sister still calls it a drippy tip video because, you know, you're dripping that shit out your dick.
So you went from red flag to sending drippy tips.
Yeah, because I confirmed it was a real woman. I was like,
you
a real
figured
person.
If anyone wants a drippy tip, it's her.
I'm like, yeah, because part of the reason, I'm not going to lie, like, I'm a horny motherfucker. So at the time, I'm like, look, my concern was, is this a real person really talking like this? Like, if so, if not, what's the trap?
Were the videos sexual or they were just confirmation that she was a woman?
The videos were confirmation that this was a real person. Like, she was very, very active on Facebook and everything. So as soon as I sent all of those videos and those nudes or whatever, she replied literally like, that's more like it. Now we can continue. And mind you, she was very well off. She trying not to give her too much information, but she was very well off. That's why it was surprising to me because in her picture, she looked so successful. I'm like, you know what I mean?
Was she a black woman?
Yes, she was a black woman. And once again, I started to look up, you know, I'm a big nerd. So I was like, you know, why would women want to be treated like this, especially women that are successful? Then I came across these articles. I was like, a lot of times when people are very dominant in their regular lives, they desire to relinquish control when it comes to the bedroom and other experiences.
Amen.
Like that. So I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I started reading more and more. What she was into wasn't my kink per se. She wanted literally somebody to, like, you know, slap her around, choke her. And she was very much into fear. Play and fear in the person she was into, and there's no kink, no shame in that, but at the time I wasn't at that level. You know, I was trying to fake the funk as much as I could because I'm like, she paid. She fine, she paid, she's a rig, she into everything, but it was just wasn't my thing. I couldn't keep it up long, but I did walk away with a lot of the terminology. I walked away with a lot of the knowledge in general, and I realized a lot of the things that, you know, that they say a dominant is was stuff that I was into. I look at a dominant as just a leader or the person who's, you know, creating the scene, so to speak. So we're all dominant. If you are the type to, you know, create the playlist, you know, turn the lights down, cook dinner, create that ambiance for a person, that's you being dominant because you're leading, you're creating the scene for that person, you know what I mean, or that experience. And that's who I've always been. I'm the type of person, like, even before I knew about the terminology, I'm like, I want to use this toy, then I'm gonna go over here, then we're gonna go in the living room, and then we're gonna go here, and we're gonna end over here. Like, I had it all planned out in my head, and it just works out so dope. So I was like, yeah, that's for me.
You like to curate the sexual experience.
Yes. Did you end up meeting her? And
you guys ended up,
you know, fucking.
We only fucked one time.
But she was more experienced.
But
he couldn't.
She saw through your.
No, it wasn't that. It was
saw
just
through your
level one. Your level one dom.
Based dominance.
I just couldn't keep up. Like, she was always on flights and going here and there, and like, she also was very much into the psychological thing. Like, I'm more like, I'm not a dom on the phone. I tell people that I'm not a virtual dom.
Right.
I can't be like, yeah, girl, do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, I'm not that. I'm more in person. I want to put my hands on you and things like that. And she was so busy that I couldn't get that leverage of, like my submissive, because, like, when they feel these hands, is a different thing. You know what I'm saying? So because she was always busy and always on the go, we didn't ever really cross paths. She came to New York City one time, and she snuck me into her hotel. She had, like, a whole management team that, like, she brought out the whole floor for.
What?
Like, yeah, she snuck me
into
the hotel.
Oprah?
She was like, yeah, come on in. Now we can get it in. It was, like, 20 minutes. It was the most, like, my biggest underperformance, I could probably say, you know what I'm saying? Because it was just like, I wasn't prepared. She literally hit me up and I was like, fuck, I wish I would have known. I would have went a little harder. Maybe I would have, you know, maintained her as a client later in the future. I don't know. Whatever.
Can you tell me about your first client experience?
Okay.
Like, when did you actually start saying, okay,
I'm going to accept money for this?
I mastered this, or maybe you didn't master it. Maybe you just kind of took a risk and said, fuck it.
It was literally I was dating another woman at the time, and she was like, you need to start charging for it. But I was like, nah, no, women don't pay for sexual experiences. But once again, just to be clear, like, you know, BDSM is not sex. It's not synonymous with sex. So I remembered, like, you know, that a lot of people don't get to experience this. I was like, it is some value in it. This woman hit me up and she was like, on Facebook, one of my old pages, and she was like, you know, do you provide sessions? And I was like, absolutely, yes, I do. Mind you, I've never done it before, but for money, of course. And I just gave her a price. I was like, $200 for an hour. And she was like, okay, tell me, how do I pay you? Vimo, this, that, and that. I'm like, send it in Cash App. And that literally how it started. And I was like, I got to make me some menus. Mm-hmm. And after that experience, it just kept going and going and going from there. I knew a lot of the types of play based on other DOMs that I followed and I watched and I studied under, but I never thought to do it professionally. I've only wanted to do it for my own personal pleasures and the experiences of other people. But once I realized it was money in it, I was like, okay.
Have you ever been flued out?
Yes.
Where'd you get flued? What's like the farthest you've been flued out
to? So far, Atlanta.
Okay.
Twice. So I'm excited.
Same client?
No, two different clients.
Nice.
Yeah.
I keep hearing there's a big market for bitches that want to get dommed in Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
I think King Hef also mentioned that to me.
King Hef is a big inspiration for mine. Like, every time I see him, he's like, yo, make sure you get in your worth, getting what you're worth. I'm like, all right, thank you.
That's so dope. So you are a father.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, like, how do you balance what you do in fatherhood? Is it something that you don't, how old are your kids?
Nine. Well, this month they both turn, they both have a birthday, so they will be 10 and 4.
Okay. I don't know, like, are you with your child's mother?
No.
Does she know what you do?
Yes, they
and
do.
And how was that conversation? Was she supportive or like?
Very, very supportive. I've been blessed with the women in my lives that are very open-minded and accepting. Mm-hmm. In fact, my daughter's mother, me and her share, her birthday is a day after mine. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of stuff in common. We decided, because she's more into other things than I'm not, but we're really, really good friends. And I talk to her about a lot of different things that I experience. And so it's really, really dope.
Well, that's beautiful. Yeah. When you say a lot of other things, like kinky shit, or just like other interests?
I don't know how to really word it too much. I don't know how I would say that.
You gonna put her business on front sheet?
Yeah, I don't want to put her business on front sheet.
Like, okay, I'll just ask you after we record.
No, not in a negative way, but just, you know, just cool thing. It doesn't, everybody's lifestyles are not gonna align in that way, but right. Just because you're willing to accept it is totally
it's different.
Different,
right? Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, like, once your kids get old enough to be able to, you know, find you on Instagram or, you know, just discover what you do, what that conversation's going to be like?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of, like, Jessette and Jasmine and King Noir and how they do things, and I love that they have, like, this parenting class, and I've been, like, tuning in on ways that they navigate this, because whether they see my page or somebody else's page, they're going to be exposed to a lot, and I'd rather be in control of how that happens. I'd rather be able to sit down with them, teach them things, how to explore them, you know, not how to explore themselves per se, but like,
that it's normal that you do it.
Sex is normal, and how to navigate it properly and, you know, responsibly is something that's super important, because I learned it, you know, in secret, and nobody knew, and I was out here just doing whatever I wanted to do, and, you know, that's just not what's recommended for anybody that's, you know, at a young age. So I'm hoping that when the age is appropriate, we can sit down and we can constantly continue to sit down and have these conversations, and they'll feel comfortable. But, you know, that's where my fingers crossed, of course.
I mean, I love that. I think, like, first of all, it's not a traditional conversation to have, no. Especially amongst Black people. We're not talking about, you know, the introduction of sex with your children, but inevitably that's going to happen. Like, that's human nature. We're going to experience and be, like, curious about pleasure. But
you better hope they get it from you.
Hell fucking yeah.
It's information. From somebody else, oh my goodness,
the porn is not great. And it's like, especially as a father of two daughters, like, that's important. And I'm like, I'm so happy that you're taking that approach, you and their mom, because I feel like it's really important for little girls to know, like, that there's safe places and there's men that are going to respect you and, you know, respect your pleasure. And
their pleasure is important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, dads don't know to tell their children that. Yeah. And, like, you need to, this is what's important. If you're not getting this out of it, it's not worth it. It's not for you. Because I think a lot of teenage boys are just fucking trying to come.
Yeah. And BDSM.
But not him. He was trying not to come. Okay?
Trying not to come.
It's a fucking pro at 16.
There was, there's so much communication in BDSM. I believe that if it's one thing I want my daughters to take away from who I am as a dom, you know, separate from my personal life, It's just like, don't be afraid to communicate about the hard topics when it comes to sex. You know what I mean? And that's something that is going to really propel themselves or keep them safe in their journey. Because everybody's hopefully is going to have an exploration, you know, when it comes to sex. So just like, make sure you have those conversations that are needed. You know, talk about what you desire, what you want to get out of it. What are your fears? You know, stuff like that. And continue to approach that conversation every time you have a different partner, a new experience. You know, it's big. It's super important.
To hear you say that as a father is so cool to me, because I think a lot of times parents kind of put all this pressure on the mom to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Like, well, she got her period. You should be talking to her about that.
Not me.
Let her know that she can.
Well, the period, I ain't going to handle it. Right. I'm scared about the period conversation. I don't know.
I definitely think that there's conversations that maybe, you know, your daughter might feel more safe talking to, mm-hmm. you know, the mom about, because the mom has had a period, right? But we've all had sex.
Yeah,
I think it's important that both parents have the conversation from the male perspective, especially if you have daughters. Like, mm-hmm. I know for me, when I was young, my dad literally was like, you know, niggas be cheating.
Yeah.
He was like, niggas be cheating. He's like, your mom's gonna tell you there's like some like fantasy and like you're gonna ride off in the fucking distance. Mm-hmm. But and I don't know if like, you know, that advice to my dad or that statement that my dad said mm-hmm. definitely has affected me throughout my life, for sure. In positive ways and in negative ways.
Right.
Like in the positive of like just being not getting caught up in a weird fantasy of thinking that like mm-hmm. people aren't people and mm-hmm. that people don't have desires and that, you know, men are different than women. That's one thing he's really always, you know, told me, like the male mind is just different. It's right. not the same. Don't try to compare the two because you just cannot.
That's good advice.
But I think that having both parents being able to talk to their child about sex, like if you're listening at home, like, and you have kids that are, you know, around this age, like both, and you're married to your partner and you have a good communication, I'm hoping because you're married, mm-hmm. that you guys are on the same page about that. And that it's not all on the woman to have these discussions and mm-hmm. that the father's getting involved and talking to their kids about this, because a lot of times that's like probably even a more impactful conversation, especially for a girl, I think.
Yeah.
And the boys too. Boys need to know too. Like, mm-hmm. hey son, you know, when you start, you know, exploring, like,
I hope those fingernails are cleaned and
look
buffed.
At his fingernails.
Fucking miracle, man. Well, it's better than mine.
His fingernails are pristine.
If I didn't see him, I just saw those hands, I'd let them touch me. I'm just saying.
Yeah, clean those fingernails, man.
Slide those under here.
I mean, I know that you take clients. Have you ever been a client? Have you ever had a session like?
I have paid many, many doms to teach me things. I have bottomed in those lessons. So technically,
can you explain what that means, bottomed, for people?
So, for example, in order to learn fire play, I had to be the fire bottom. I had to be the person that was on the table, so to speak, you know, getting the fire done to them. So that was something. Same thing with impact play. You know, a lot of the times you want, when before you hit somebody with a particular tool, you want to know what it feels like. So for my impact play lesson, I also bottomed for that, meaning like, once again, I was the person that they demonstrated on, mm-hmm. just so I could understand what a person is going to be experiencing while I'm hitting them or using fire or any other.
Did you see fire used? And that's what, like,
absolutely.
How did that, like, what was that like? I need to do that.
Okay, so my fire mentor is actually located in my bio. So on all of my pages, I have him linked there. Like, if anybody wants to learn fire play, get a fire kit.
Oh my God, I think I need to learn it.
Things like that. But, you know, after seeing him perform, his name is Bobby Firebody. They call him the fire marshal. yeah, after seeing him perform, I was like, I have to learn it. It was so dope. He was able to do so much with it. He's incredible with the fire. Mm. That's what, hence why they call him the fire marshal. So
is he based in New York?
He's in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
He's in Detroit, but he does do virtual lessons. He travels, you know what I'm saying, all types of things. So he's available for that.
Dope.
Are you a switch, like with your partner, do you ever switch? Are you always for sure the dom?
Interesting you bring that up, because I just came to that conclusion this morning while I was getting dressed.
Oh, this morning. Yeah. Wow, look at that. My empath knew.
I have historically always said that I am not a switch, but I think I do, especially with the right partner. With my partner currently, I'm big on being used in bed. Like, as much as I love, you know, being in control, I love the idea of having my hands tied and just using me like a meat stick, mm-hmm. and just doing all types of different things to me. And I'm big on being smothered with her pussy, and that's something that I really, really enjoy. So I was like, that does show like kind of submissive, because I want to be blindfolded. I have this thing, you know, when I'm not in control, where like I like to close my eyes and just let you do whatever you want to do to me, you know what I mean? But I also I've always believed that like I had to earn that experience. Mm-hmm. So I go super hard. I feel like I'm overcompensating for the idea that I want to one day be able to just lay back and do things. I hate seeing guys just like put their arm up and like suck my dick. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you do to get your dick sucked? Like, you know what I mean? So like I try to put in a lot of work to be like, yeah. So the last 6 days I've been holding it down. Today's my day to like just relax, do some things to me. And I really, really enjoy those experiences where I'm able to just like, just you know, zone out in my own head and let you use me. So I guess that is, you know, like a switch tendency, but it doesn't happen as often.
Do you have any hard no's?
Yes, just when it comes to sexuality, like I'm not into, you know, anything that's not, anyone that's not a cis woman. Mm-hmm. But other than that, probably scat play.
Oh yeah, no.
I'm not into scat play.
That's poop.
Yeah. I'm not into blood play. There are, believe it or not, I want to be clear, there are separate, you know, experiences. For example, like I mentioned on the Hard or Soft podcast, like I'm into messy anal, you know what I mean? Because my uncle taught me, like, if you're going to do something, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. You know what I mean? If you're going to have sex with a woman on her period, don't be afraid of the blood. Like,
amen. Amen to that uncle. Shout out to that uncle.
Oh, my uncle's a nasty motherfucker. Nasty motherfucker. But yeah, like, once you engage in a certain thing, you know what I mean? So if you want her to deep throw your dick and she throw up, don't you handle that shit. Like, you really got to make sure that, you know what I mean, you're in control and you let a person know. So, like, when you're doing anal, shit happens. It can happen.
Literally.
So, you know, if it happens, handle that shit. And I have no problem with it. But the idea of just somebody, you know, just playing with it, just for the sake of playing with it, or blood, just to play with it, nah, not my thing.
I so appreciate you saying that. I feel like there is such a, I mean, just in kink, in period, in BDSM, there's safety. You know, you have to feel safe. And like, niggas be trying to stick their dick in your ass. And like, nigga, I don't even know you that well. You need to relax. Right. Or, and then like women, you have to really feel safe to like be like, anything can happen and I feel safe enough with this person that they're not gonna like make me feel weird even though you just put your penis in my asshole. You know, like I think rap videos and music make people confused, like put your thumb in her ass, like no nigga, there's requirements, you might need
they
to lick it first.
The foreplay and the communication and right. necessary trust, it's just they create the fantasy that everything is just like straight to the point. Like, they don't show you that when they do them anals and those pornos, there's so much prepping that goes involved. You know, a lot of people do things to get themselves comfortable. Conversations are had. You know, a bunch of different things are happening before you get to that point, but you don't see it.
First of all, me and Jamila have been, ever since we saw your performance, I was like, we need to get this done to us immediately. So I want to, you know, I want to do that.
Okay.
Today.
All right.
But I also want to know.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because I was telling Jamila, I was like, is he going to burn her pussy?
She was, I don't know how you didn't hear her because we were only feet, a foot away from you. I was like, you've got to shut up. You're ruining the show for everybody.
Oh my God.
Literally, I'm like, bitch, are we at the movies? Shut the fuck up. She's like, oh my God, that was her pussy. I was like,
look, he did it again. Oh my God. So can you explain, before we go into it, like, the science behind what you do and how you don't burn bitches' pussies?
Okay, so the accelerant that we're using to create the fire is alcohol, and a lot of times it's diluted with water. So whenever you see 90% alcohol, 70% alcohol, 50% alcohol, that determines how much water is in it. When water dilutes the alcohol, it actually makes it burn at a lower temperature. So the more water you have in the fire, the lower the temperature is gonna burn. So typically we use 70% alcohol on average, and 50% if you're like a super duper beginner, somebody that doesn't like any type of temperature play. 50% isn't super recommended because it goes out really quickly and it's hard to work with and manipulate, but 70% is around that mark. We use fire wands that are made for that purpose of being able to transfer the alcohol to the person's body. But yeah.
Have you ever fire played two women at one time?
Absolutely. No, I was going to say it did. But I've done it in, you know, in a room, but never at the same time.
Well, I'm about to pop your cherry.
What's a day? Might be the day. They're marvelous.
Wait, I wish I could show you guys the DMs. I was like, hey, remember us? Are you free on Monday? Also, can you do that thing you did at the party that one of us? Yeah. He was like, sure. I was like, wow, you ask and you shall receive.
Yes, yeah. I was so happy to see your DM because I was like, oh man, she didn't see my performance. And she looked at me like, I was like, can I go on your show? She's like, what do you do? Like, who are you?
Well, niggas be coming up to us all the time. Like, I should be a guest. I'm like, okay.
For what? What do you offer?
Wait, first of all, if you're ever approached by a gentleman in a suit at a sex party, he's probably a dom. I literally asked Orlando, I'm like, is like the suit the dom uniform? I feel like all the niggas who are doms like generally kind of wear suits. Or maybe it was just you and King Half. So that's
what. To be clear, majority of doms, they wear leather. The suit thing is probably a 50 Shades of Grey thing.
Mm. It's a level of sophistication.
You're right. It's professionalism.
I'm here
to do some serious shit.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, my thing is I've been wearing suits or dressing up since I was 16. I got in a lot of trouble when I was a teenager. And when I came home from the juvenile detention, I lived with my sister. My sister told me the only way that I'm going to agree to letting them, you know, send you to my home is if you agree to change the way you dress. Because at the time I was dressing like a straight hoodlum. Like, oh my God, I thought I was somebody totally different. And she was like, yeah, you're going to have to wear dress clothes even though you don't have a uniform at your school. I was like, what?
Wow, sis.
Like, what? And then I realized that I had to make it work more and more and more and more. And it grew on to me. My friends used to hate me. Mind you, being 16 years old, your friend shows up to a party in a suit. They used to say all the time, please don't wear a suit. I'm like, nah.
My sister
but now
made
that
me.
I'm older, it's like, it's perfect. You know what I mean? So it's definitely a thing.
You definitely look very dapper and good today, sir.
I appreciate that so much.
What do you like your subs to call you?
I like sir.
Sir.
I love sir.
We were talking earlier and you said you're not really into the daddy thing.
No.
And that's because you are a daddy?
Yes, very much so.
I got to work on that because I'd be saying daddy during sex without consulting first.
I mean, it's like, not a, it's not a hard limit.
I've had someone tell me, do not call me daddy, like straight up, like before sex ever happened, like it's not my thing. Please, you can say anything you want, but just do not call me daddy.
If you want
my dick to stay hard. No. Mm-hmm. He's not a dad. I mean, he kind of like raised a child for a while, but I don't know what that, he said, he's like, I don't know what that is, but I don't know why it is. Like, I have to look into that, why it bothers me so much, but I've realized that, like, it turns me off.
Maybe because he was
a good partner, because he knew thyself. He knew himself very, very well.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it. Mm-hmm. He won't be calling. And that's true, though, because I'm not a big daddy person in the bedroom. Sometimes it'll slip out. Depends how much I'm being dommed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true, too.
Yeah.
I'm a sub, so I think that may come from that. Because I was like, why do I say that? I don't watch that much porn. Where did I get that from? But I think it is about, you know, I have weird, kinky, like, being dominated daddy fantasies, which is a whole different podcast, but...
I mean, I prefer sir mainly because I just feel like it's special to me, it's unique to me because especially when you're talking to vanilla people, they call everybody bae and this and that. I'm like, don't call me babe. You know, don't call me love. Don't call me king. Well, you call me king. That's fine. But I prefer sir because it feels like you took the time to appreciate what I like and you called me that. And it means a lot to me that way.
Well, sir, I'm ready for my session.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Same. Okay. Same, sir.
So I think we're going to move the cameras a little bit so that we can... I don't know what needs to happen here. I don't know how much space you need, if we can stand here, or what do you need from us?
Should we bend over this table? Because that's what I imagine.
You can just put your feet on it. You can just put your hands on the table. I'm going to pull out my whole bag.
Okay, well, first of all, not only is he wearing a suit and a tie, he came in with this fucking...
Duffel bag.
Professional bag. I'm like, oh my God.
What's in the bag?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Barney, you know, that magic fucking bag he had.
I'm just letting you guys know now, you're going to listen to this, but if you want to watch this session, you got to join our Patreon. So make sure you go to patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices if you want to see the good moms get dommed by Sir Marvelous.
Hey.
Wow, my dreams are coming true.
There we go.
I love my job.
Where's your bag? We need
right
your
over
bag.
Here.
It's over here.
Let me grab a few things.
Should we cut for just 1 second or should we just keep going?
We could, I mean, I don't know.
Keep going? Okay.
Let me just slide in.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
I don't, probably right here.
Yeah, right here. Fine. I'm just going to move this mic out the way and you guys can, like, put your hands on the table.
Just our hands?
I'll see you trying to get your stuff.
Yeah, I gotta grab it.
Oh my gosh, you got it.
Am I blocking the camera?
No.
Okay. Guys didn't know what you were signing up for this Monday afternoon.
Like, wait, what?
What are they gonna? What are they gonna do?
Wait for my pull my ass out. Are you sure?
Oh, I wore high-waisted panties on purpose.
My panties are cotton, and but I don't care.
I was like, I know he can't fire me through with my clothes. I will catch on fire.
No, you won't catch on fire.
But I feel like skin is the whole point is you need to feel skin so that you can feel the skin on the skin sensations. The guys are closing the curtain.
I did see a child roaming around. She doesn't need to see this.
Oh, yeah.
She's never going to be the same. You know, we're over here talking to Sir Marvelous about his kids discovering who he is. Can you wait till our kids get old enough for this shit? They're going to be like, what the fuck have you guys been doing all these years?
How old are your kids?
They're both 6. Oh, wow. Mine will be 7 next month, too.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Mm. Oh, I've never seen is that a flog too? The metal with the.
Is it? Oh, it's also called a flogger if it's not metal. Yeah. I mean, if it's not leather.
Mm-hmm. So a flogger just happens to have many flaws on it, falls on it. The whips are the ones where you see just one, one fall, so to speak. We'll make it. Where are they going to have to deal with it?
Stay on him.
Okay.
I'm ready. Are you ready?
So what's the best thing to do? Should I take my pants off? Should I just get naked?
We were trying to get naked so bad. He's like, no, bitch, just give me your hand. I'm like, so take my pants off or you want my titties out?
I feel like I've seen titties before.
Well, I have this.
Okay, that's good.
We're going to have to do a lot of editing.
Okay, I'm not going to
take your whole top off.
I can turn this way.
Or like a, do you have underwear on?
I have underwear on.
Okay.
So who's going to go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
Okay, what are you going
to
do?
Come closer to the...
Yes, gladly.
Well, I'm sweating. I'm just getting so hot here. I'm getting excited.
So what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to actually have you put your hands on this, turn around, lean over, forward. Don't worry about your hair and stuff like that. I won't worry.
Please don't catch my friend's hair on fire.
Should I put it up just in case?
No, I'm sure. Okay. I won't even be going close to that.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you, friend.
Maybe some lights could turn down because it might. Oh, this is totally fine. How does that feel?
Good.
He's getting her, he's prepping her with his hands. It's very. Does it feel warm?
Mm-hmm.
She's bent over the chair right now and he's just warming her up, literally. With hands and fire.
With hands and fire?
Hands and fire.
I love this play by play.
Do you like that? Should I use my sexy voice? How does it feel?
Warm and wet, sort of?
He's literally touching you with the fire.
It's like moist.
Mm.
So, that is literally how it feels. I can show you how it would feel in the front, but you would have to come, let's see, here.
Now she's up against the wall. He's put her hands over her head. He's rubbing on her body, her waist.
Love the play by play.
Now he's going back for more fire. Erica seems to be really enjoying this. She's really in her subspace. Sorry. Now.
How's
it? Feels good. I smell that alcohol.
Yeah, you can smell it.
Yep. He's choking her.
So the more sensitive parts of the body, for example, the nipples, the clit, and things like that, it just gets, it's heightened, you know, when you're not able to see, when you're tied up, and all that other stuff. So imagine being like, you know, on my table, tied to the table, blindfolded, music is playing, it's super dark in the room or whatever, and all you do is feeling like me going all over your body, touching on your clit and your nipples and things like that. So that's how it would feel.
And what's your Venmo?
Oh, wow, I'm getting hot and bothered in here.
Wait, I have one request, though.
Sure.
Can you spank me?
Of course.
Okay.
All right.
What should I do? I've been waiting for this moment.
May I pull down the pants?
Yes.
All right.
Consent, guys. First you ask, and then you shall receive.
Got it. So a lot of times, they can't see on that side. I'm right-handed, but...
That ass is shaking, baby. Wow, that sounds really nice. Mm-hmm. Your booty looks really good, Erica.
I'm just taking it right
Don't you fucking give up. Take it.
Yeah. He's telling her not to give up. My friend doesn't give up.
Yeah. Such a good girl. All
right. Thank
you,
sir. Anytime. Ooh, wow. I'm sweating.
I'm really sweating, actually. Okay, well, thank you.
Excellent.
Okay, I think it's my turn.
No friend.
Okay.
Where shall I be?
Same. So we can start here. Okay. But I'm going to turn you on.
This side?
Yeah, if you take off the top but just don't show the titties, then okay. You won't have to edit out so much. So just don't point to the camera.
I'm not. Okay. You know I like my titties out. That's my favorite place to be.
Okay. Are you ready for my play-by-play, guys? Jamila has taken her top off, but she's turned around so we can't see her camouflage
so
nipples.
We're gonna turn it this way so that way you don't have to worry about slipping. Perfect.
Oh, I'm kind of scared.
Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
I prefer yeses over mm-hmms.
Okay, yes.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
I need it to be clear, you know?
Yes, sir.
I don't want any miscommunications.
He's rubbing her back. She sounds like she's enjoying it. I think he grabbed her tits.
Is that okay for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And okay, we can't do the front and cover yourselves.
Okay.
They don't deserve all that.
Patreon doesn't allow titties.
No titties.
I'm gonna get kicked off Patreon too.
So let's see if we can try something a little bit different.
Okay.
If you can put your knees in this chair and bend over for me and pull your pants down.
Okay. My cotton.
Yes. Don't worry, you're not going to be. There you go. Oh, very beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder how much they get to see stuff like this when they do other podcasts for people. For yeses.
Yes, sir.
Oh, even a yes, sir. Hold on. I'm going to pull this to the side. Is that okay for
mm-hmm.
you? Don't worry about the hair part.
Okay. Please don't burn my pubes.
I'm not going. Can you feel that?
I'm not being a good play-by-play person. I'm distracted. I'm distracted, guys. We're still here.
Can I fix my friend's...
Oh,
my
sorry.
Friend has a fatty catty.
I have
sorry.
A huge vagina.
A huge vagina? All right. So we're going
to
have to pay for
not a huge vagina.
Okay, well.
Let me help you out here.
Thank
wait,
you.
Wait, ask my job. I got you.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Wow.
So wasn't
that was really nice.
Good?
No.
So that's just one of the many kinks that I do. And I try to like sorry. I try to incorporate that in the middle of everything else. So it's just like a form of overstimulating a person. So imagine, like I said, that going on while a whole bunch of other stuff. Ambiance is super important. Lighting is important. Temperature is important. And just creating a level of comfort with the person based on your communication. So that's why I always explain to people, if you're ever going to book a dom and they don't take the time to go over... you know, a consultation with you and like learn your kinks and your interests and stuff, like run away. If that person is like, well, yeah, just send me this money, you know, well, come to, I'm like, nah, run away. If they're not going over what are your hard limits, your interests, what you want to experience, things of that nature, you know, maybe even past experiences, you know, then run away.
They're not a professional, basically.
And I mean, I wouldn't recommend them, you know what I mean? And anybody that I know that does this, they're going to say the same thing.
I actually had a dom, I got dommed in a dungeon, and one of the things, which I know is a popular thing, is like yellow, green, red,
mm-hmm,
green to keep going, red, stop. I don't like this. And yellow, slow down.
Excellent.
So I think that was one of the things that I learned, you know, and obviously consent, but even just having any type of language to use during the session to gauge your comfortability is super important.
Exactly. Because a lot of times, you know, when we're experiencing things, it's hard to find the right words. So having something to shortcut that is super important. So I use the same colors. I use green, yellow, red, and marvelous. Mm. So whenever I ask a person, what's your color? You can say marvelous if you're feeling well. You know what I mean?
If you're feeling well.
Feeling great. You could say green. You could say marvelous. It's totally up to whatever one you want to remember. You could say yellow. One thing that I do during my sessions, I encourage bratting. So people are like, oh, I'm a brat. I'm like, all right, well, you better be able to take what that comes with. So if I ever ask you, you know, why I'm hitting you, I'm like, what's your color? And, you know, it's green, you could say, you're going to have to hit me harder than that if you want to get a yellow out of me. Mm. Remember, the whole point of impact play is to get to the point where you're releasing those endorphins, you're inducing those chemicals to be released from the brain. So a part of that has to do with, like, raising the adrenaline level.
My impact play tolerance is low.
Oh, really?
I just realized. I remembered when he was spanking me that, and I was just telling someone that, like, I don't really enjoy being spanked. Sometimes I do, it just depends. But if you do it consistently over time, it hurts.
So the way I do it, right, what I always encourage people to do is, like, you got to do the good and the bad. So I'm not big on doing impact play just cold, meaning, like, I like to do other forms of stimulation. So when you do get to a yellow, I'm giving you a reward. So now your mind is looking forward to it. Like, when I start to reach that point, the whole idea of just spanking someone, just to spank them, what am I really going to get out of it? Unless you're into that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So me, I'm going to have something on your clit vibrating the entire time. I'm going to have something on your nipples. I'm going to be talking in your ear. I'm going to be encouraging you. I'm going to be, like, really getting you involved, just versus, like, you know, the same idea. It's one thing if I were to walk up to you and just spank you in the middle of the day versus, like, where, you know, you're having sex with somebody, you're about to come, and they're hitting you at that right moment. It's all about time and place and how you do it.
Right. Yeah, I do love a dirty mouth. Yeah, I like someone to talk dirty in my ear. And also, I really enjoy, like, being choked and slapped in the face a little bit. But, like, not all over and over, but, like, just a little, like, no, bitch, what did I tell you? That's my thing right now. Just in case you wanted to know, sir.
Thanks for letting us know. Wait, can you tell us what these tools are? What is this and this?
So this is one of my favorite floggers. Like I mentioned, this is good for sensation play. You might have seen me use this at the play party.
I don't know. I saw the fire, but then I got lost.
So you can, you can drag it across a person's skin. A lot of times I always mention how I try to deprive a person's senses, so maybe I might blindfold you or gag you or tie you up, and that heightens the experience of something touching your body.
Yeah, this is nice.
Yeah. So, and this is a flogger. This is Jessette and Jasmine's brand. This is one of her floggers. I have the other one in my bag. But this is called a nunchuck flogger. I love this one because it's easier to do the actual act of flogging, because it's just easier to twist. It has this little nunchuck on it. But I love it because it's a thuddy flogger that doesn't hurt as much. The stinkier ones aren't super common, but this one is just a perfect one. It gives you that good vibration that you need. So, and these are my fire wands. These were made by Bobby, the man I told you about. So that's what I brought for you guys today.
Wow, that was so kind of you. You know, you didn't have to do any of that. So we really appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys.
We're really in our subspace now, and we're embracing our submissive. And we might have to flee you out. You might have to go half on a ticket for Sir Marvelous.
I definitely plan on coming to L.A. I plan on going to one of the Kinky Game Nights. Are you familiar with their
name? No, what's the Kinky Game Nights?
I'll send you the information. Kinky Game Night is based out in L.A. They
really
are definitely a great group out there.
Are they black?
Yes.
Okay, we need to tap into the community in L.A. We're fucking sleeping over here.
They're amazing.
We were flying to New York to do kinky shit because we don't know where the kinky black people are in New York. I mean, in L.A. You know, that was a thing I didn't play, per se, at the party this weekend. I did a lot of dancing in the mirror, a lot of slow dancing with other people. But you know what? It was really a joy to see. I feel like because it was their first play party, I feel like there was a lot of first timers there.
Right.
But I did enjoy seeing a group of predominantly black people come together to invest in exploring their pleasure in a non-traditional way.
Yes.
I think it's such a, like, revolutionary act to prioritize your pleasure as a Black person and like be open to it and do it in community and do it, like to watch other
people.
Yeah.
Great communication. Because people assume that when you go to these parties, like you said, you have to fuck or pussy's going to be served to you on a platter. No. Like, did you see how much Tahoe spoke before even allowing us to go, giving us the rules and the breakdowns and like what to expect and, you know, how to act? You know, that's something that you don't hear. People aren't doing that at vanilla parties. They're not like, hey, watch how much you drink and do this. And, you know, we have, you know, these things put in place to keep you protected. I've seen way more drama happen at vanilla parties than at kink. I've never, thank you, Lord, I have yet to see, you know, something pop off at a kinky party that was like, wow, I feel unsafe or I feel, you know, just not comfortable here.
You actually feel more safe. You feel more. I felt so safe. I mean, I wasn't doing shit, but I just felt safe to embrace everyone. Like, I had a really beautiful slow dance for like three songs in the middle of a room of people fucking, and like I was just like, this is really nice. I actually thought about shout out to Clit Talk. I thought about during that conversation we had with him, she's like, I really want to go to a sex party and just be naked in full body paint and let nobody touch me.
That's dope.
And so I was there and I was like, I wasn't really feeling in the mood to like really do a lot, but I was feeling the energy, and I just channeled that. I was like, I'm just gonna dance with myself and maybe a couple others, but like I felt sensual but not obligated to be touched.
That's amazing.
And there was like power in that.
I'm sure that's the way that they want everybody to feel, just powerful. Like this, every experience is supposed to be feeling empowering.
And I think also the aftercare is really important too. Like, and that's what I loved, like, whenever we talk to people who are in this space, like, actually, when I went to the Hard or Soft show, and Daddy Hef did a demo with his sub, and he was flogging her for a pretty long, decent amount of time. And then afterwards, it was so beautiful to see how he took care of her and embraced her and made sure she was okay.
Right.
And I think that's so important, especially in those type of environments, that like when you are in a space and you're being vulnerable with someone and sharing yourself, that you check in on them after, and you don't just like, okay, we fucked, bye, peace.
Yeah. That messes up a lot of people, you know, because you share yourself with them and then you don't know what their feedback is. So one thing that I encourage everyone to do, whether you're doing BDSM or not, is do debriefs after every experience. So when I have a session with someone, I break it down into four quadrants. First, what was your favorite part of the scene? What was your least favorite part of the scene? What's something you would want more of? And what's something you could probably do without? And that is how you constantly increase the experience. Because, you know, especially for myself, when I'm doing sessions, I want it to be catered, you know, particularly for that person and each and every experience to get better and better. But you can do that sexually. Like, what's something, you know, if you just had sex with somebody, you know, like, what was your favorite part of it? You know what I mean? Also, before you even go there, just make sure that you create that safe space mentally by letting them know, like, you know, nothing that you say now is going to, you know, I'm not going to, like, judge you on it or make you feel bad or horrible, but I also want that ability to feel safe, to allow it to be honest with you. And then you go into, you know, my favorite parts when you was pulling my hair or choking me or when you was eating my pussy. And then, or you might say, you know, what I would want more of is just a little bit more foreplay. I want us to take our time a little bit more to explore each other. Or I love when you go deep, or I like when you go shallow. Like, just try to, you know, really debrief those moments, because that's the way you increase it. That's the way you increase that pleasure each and every time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think men don't always.
We ain't thinking of things.
They don't like the feedback.
Yeah.
They take it personally. The ego gets involved. So, men, if you're listening, ask for the feedback. You only get better. It's not about, like, you know, telling someone they're not good in bed, but just improving. Everyone can get better.
Yeah.
I know we kind of did this out of order today. We usually start with an affirmation, but do you have an affirmation for us today, Sir Marvelous?
Yes, I deserve success.
I deserve success. I know that's fucking right. I deserve to be spanked. I deserve success. I deserve all the things that I want.
So I want to make a little disclaimer right here. My sub is going to be so mad at me because I had my everything bagel this morning and I forgot to use my gum before I came in here. So please, I really hope that nobody, you know, when I was breathing or whatever.
Nobody was thinking about that breath, baby.
I was not thinking about that.
Thinking about that fire wand.
That fire.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Nope.
Let me pop that in now.
Hey. Did you want to pull a card, or are we?
Well, I did pull a card already. Okay. Wow, it's funny you asked. It's 111. You know, I'm a witchy bitch. It's witch time. Mm-hmm. The card I pulled today, it kind of seems appropriate. It's the Lovers. The Lovers card means, let's see what we got today. In the purest form, the Lovers card represents conscious connections and meaningful relationships. The arrival of this card in a tarot reading shows that you have a beautiful, soul-honoring connection with a loved one. You may believe you have found your soulmate or life partner, and the sexual energy between you both, you guys, goes way beyond instant gratification and lust to something that is very spiritual and also tantric.
What?
Yeah.
That's kind of deep. That's kind of
crazy.
That's on point, though.
While the Lover's card typically refers to a romantic tie, it can also represent a close friendship or family relationship where love, respect, and compassion flow. The Lover's card is open communication and raw honesty. Given that the man and woman are naked, they are both willing to be in their most vulnerable states and have learned to open their hearts to one another and share their truest feelings. They shape the container from which trust and confidence can emerge, and this makes for a powerful bond between the two. So I'm becoming a witch live on the show every week.
It's getting good, because that was super accurate to what I'm experiencing right now in my life with my partner.
How long have you guys been together?
I don't want to say. I don't want to say, because it's roughly new and everybody thinks that it's,
oh, right.
Well, it's a lot longer.
Yeah, cancers be knowing when we're in love, okay?
Exactly.
So I believe you, and I'm happy for you, and I'm really grateful that you came in here and shared your knowledge and your energy with us and shared space.
Thank you so much.
This was beautiful, and I feel more confident that I want to be domed in the future and that I should pay for it.
Amen. And I need fire.
And I need fire. Oh, you don't do fire? Let me call you back. I know someone who does. Please tell our guests where they can find you.
My Instagram is Sir Marvelous Kinks with an underscore. So that's Sir Marvelous Kinks with an underscore, or Sir Marvelous Things. Please follow both pages, because you know Instagram be deleting us. And when you go to my pages, all my links are in the bio, so you can find my Twitter, my OnlyFans, my email, all that other information that you can find me on there.
And we'll make sure to link all your contacts in the episode description, so make sure you check that out.
I appreciate that.
Make sure you go follow our Patreon so you can see all the fire play that happened today. The link is also in our episode description. Mm-hmm. And rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
You better rate and review us, god damn it.
Rate and review, scroll down all the way to the bottom, get that 5-star rating, leave us a nice little comment. And
should we do a hori?
Oh, do you have a hori? I mean, I'm sure you do. Jesus Christ, I'm sure you do.
Horror stories.
What would ever make you think that? another story when I was 16. I'm going to take it back there. I don't want to say not recent. But my biggest horror story I could say is when I was working at a storage company, and I was using the storage lockers as like my personal bedrooms. So literally.
What?
Yeah. Literally. I would have them like, I would have, because you know, we sold blankets, boxes, of course, lockers and stuff like that. So I would take a couple of moving blankets, throw it on the floor inside an empty storage thing, and just like go to work inside the storage.
That reminded me, when I lived in Atlanta, there was this nigga that I used to fuck, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and I ran into him at the club, and he was like, you should come with me, so I was like, okay, and this nigga took me to his storage, and fucked me in the storage room, and wow. I thought, I'm never telling anybody this is crazy. Do you not have a house? I don't know, I did it though.
I was super lit, for me to be 16, so I was working there, and mind you know, as a teenager, you don't really get the free crib. That was what we called it back in the day. We couldn't get the free crib so often, so I had like, to me, all of these miniature apartments. I'm like, all I had to do was find one of them. I would literally be like, meet me on the third floor, locker 304. Just wait for me.
Wow, you know? So you were doming in the teen years. I was like, yes, daddy.
Yeah, now that I think about it.
Well, I'm good to know I'm not the only one who's got fucked in a storage container. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Excellent.
We love you, and
we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, guys. Have you joined Patreon, where we offer even more juicy content?
Yes, y'all. We have secret episodes, secret segments, and some very personal blog posts that we don't share on the interwebs. So make sure you go check out our Patreon. That's patreon.com/goodmomsbadchoices. As mothers, we are constantly fucking needed. We are constantly needed. Our kids, they want snacks, they want this, they want that, they got questions, why? You get into this zone of like constantly feeling like you might be needed for something. Like, what do you need? What do I need? How do I need? And it's like hard to get out of this space of feeling like something needs to get done. That's like one of the hardest things for me, is feeling like something needs to get done. If it's not Irie needing something, if it's not like me feeling like I gotta post this thing, like someone is waiting for this, even though no one is motherfucking waiting for me to post shit. All the things that didn't get done, all of whatever the deadlines that you didn't meet today, they ain't thinking about you. Nobody needs you right now. Stop feeling like you need to be needed. Because you don't. Nobody needs you. And that only I needed myself, that I needed to be there for me, that I needed to be present for myself, that I needed to just take a breath. And that was my only job in that moment, was to be there for me.